Apparently, they had begun to see me in the latter role, which was going to be a problem in my hunt for the Exodus-quoting killer. The victims were probably members of the local supernatural community, but a lot of Wiccans can be ticklish about talking about their beliefs or identifying their fellow believers as members of the faith. Part of it is a basic respect for personal freedom and privacy endemic to the faith. Part of it is a kind of theologically hereditary caution. Both of these factors were going to make it hard to get anyone to talk to me. If people thought the wardens were a part of the killings, they'd shut me out faster than you can say, burn the witch. There's no reason for anyone to be afraid, I said. These women are officially suicides. I mean, if Murphy's instincts hadn't picked up on something, we wouldn't even know there was a killer loose. Mac sipped his beer in silence. Unless, I said, some other factor I don't know about made it obvious to everyone in our crowd that the victims weren't suicides. Mac put his beer down. They're linked, I said quietly. The victims. There's a connection between them that the police files don't show. The magic folks know it. That's why they're scared. Mac frowned at the beer, then he looked over at the neutral ground sign by the door. I know, I said quietly. You don't want to get involved. But someone out there is killing women. They're leaving calling cards for me, specifically. Whoever is doing it is going to keep doing it until I find them. Mac did not move. I kept the quiet pressure on him. A lot of people come in here. They eat and drink, and they talk. You stand over there running the grill and pouring drinks, and you might as well be invisible. But I know you hear a lot more than most people realize, Mac. I figure you know something that might help me. He gazed at me for a moment, his expression unreadable. Then he asked, "Is it you?" I almost barked out a bit of laughter until I realized that he was serious. It took me a minute to get my head around that one. Since I'd gone into business in Chicago, I had spent a lot of time trying to help the supernatural community. I did exorcisms here and there, helped with ghostly problems, taught young and out-of-control talents enough discipline to restrain themselves. I've done other things, too, smaller, not necessarily directly involving magic. Giving advice on how to handle problems dealing with friendly but inhuman beings that mingled with magically aware mortals. Helping parents to deal with the fact that their kid was suddenly able to set the cat on fire, and otherwise trying to help. Despite all of that, the same folks I tried to help were afraid of me. Even Mac. I guess I couldn't blame them. I wasn't as accessible as I used to be. What with the war and my new warden duties and teaching my apprentice, practically the only times I had appeared in public, things had gotten messy and people had died. I sometimes forgot how scary the supernatural could be. I lived in a state of relative power. I'm not under any illusions that I can take out anything that messes with me, but I'm not a pansy, and with the right planning and leverage, I can be a threat to even awfully powerful beings. Those folks couldn't. They were the have-nots of the supernatural world, and they didn't have the options that my power gave me. And after all, I was supposed to be the one protecting folks from supernatural threats. If they truly believed that the woman had been murdered, then either I was cruel enough to do the deed, or uncaring and or incompetent enough to allow it to happen. Either way, it didn't paint a flattering picture of me. Add in the growing sense of fear, and it was understandable. But it still hurt. It's not me, I said quietly. Mac studied my features for a moment, then nodded. Needed to hear it. Sure, I said. I don't know who's behind it, but I give you my word that when I catch up to whoever is doing this, I'm going to take him down. Regardless of who he is or who he works for. My word, Mac. He took another sip of beer, stalling. I reached out and started flipping through the pages, one by one, reviewing the horrible photos. Mac saw them too. He let out a breath, barely tinged with a throaty growl, and leaned back in his chair, away from the images. I put my last beer on the table and spread my hands. Help me, Mac. Please? Mac stared down at his bottle for a moment. Then he looked at his sign again. Then he reached out and took the top sheet of paper from the stack. He flipped it over, produced a pencil from his apron pocket, and wrote on the page before passing it back to me. It read, Anna Ash, Ordo Lebes, 4 p.m., tomorrow. What's this? I asked him. He picked up his bottle and rose. A start.